Welcome to the CTOX podcast. This is the place to be if you're a technology leader navigating the fractional CTO landscape. I'm Marisa Brassfield, joined by Lior Weinstein, the visionary behind CTOX.
Here, we cut through the noise to deliver actionable insights for CTOs at every stage, whether you're looking at your first five-figure client or actively building systems to scale.
That's right. You'll learn principles, not just tactics, to transform your technical expertise into a thriving fractional practice. Let's dig in. Welcome back to the CTOX podcast. When a CEO says they want a player coach, what they usually mean is, I want leadership and implementation, but I don't want to pay for it. Today, we're unpacking a common but deeply flawed idea in startups and growing companies, the belief that executives, and in our context, of course, fractional CTOs, should both do the work and lead the work. We're going to explain why this thinking breaks teams, burns out leaders, and ultimately prevents real scale. Lior, you know I am excited for this conversation.
Yeah, it's probably, I would say it's the number one reason of burnout for executives, right? Pretty much across the board, not just with CTOs.
You and I have each had seasons in our lives and careers where we've been called a player coach. What do CEOs usually mean when they say they want a player coach?
They mean that you can do the actual work, but that you also do the actual work. So it's not just a capability, it's the practical application. And the reality is they want to pay you more or less and get a 2-for-1. It's usually what that means.
Agreed. No. That's my label. That's my label today, but I know that doesn't apply to everybody. But why does this expectation show up so often in leaders who are hiring for fractional roles?
I think it shows up often, period. I think it shows up in full-time. I think it shows up in fractional. There's something about technology professionals in particular because there's so many technology startups, right? You're not going to say, I have a falafel store startup, right? Even though in practice, you might actually have. It's like a baby store. You don't know how it's going to grow. If it's going to grow, it might close, it might shut down, but you're not looking at it like that. And the reality is, I was a startup entrepreneur as a young guy, and the business card says CTO, right? Like on the business cards, there's the CEO, the CTO. We're only a 2-person startup. I've had meetings where we changed the business card. Like I was the CEO for that meeting. He was the CTO for that meeting. And the reality is, in a small team, you do the work. You make it up, and you make it real, and you make it recur. And it's that core team. And it's that philosophy because a lot of CTOs come in from that doer. That's how they grew, right? It's rare to see somebody that's leading technology that had not done technology. So you see it sometimes, but had not built technology. So it's very common for builders to be stuck in an environment where they have to build. And it's also very common for CEOs to think, well, I need to build something, so I'm going to hire a builder to build it. But the reality is being accountable for the system while you're stuck in it is not a good idea. It actually rarely works. Now, if you're a startup, by the way, if you're a 2-3-person startup, I don't recommend you hire a fractional CTO. Because really what you're looking for a developer. You can give them the CTO title on your slide deck. That's completely fine. But the reality is you're looking for somebody to actually write code or build product. And that context of leadership is irrelevant because they're not leading anything. They're not leading a team. They're not leading a mission. They're doing the thing. They're making the vision real, just like in a larger organization, the actual people with their hands on the wheel are going to drive the car.
Right. And of course, I get the appeal here. It's a great deal financially to operate with a team of player coaches. What actually breaks, though, when leaders are expected to both execute and lead?
The problem is getting pulled into tactics, right? When you're leading, that's why in our discovery call, we say, what do you want to, we have this template. We tell them to ask the CEOs, what do you want to do and why do you want to do it? You want to jump into the why because you want to be able to change your plans all the time. Leadership requires distance and perspective. If you're in the code, if you're pushing, if you're looking at the server status, whatever it is, your ability to actually argue that we need to do a different what for this why is very limited. Because you're just looking 3 feet ahead, and the more tasks you have, that's what's on your mind. That's what's on your mind set. So as a leader, you want the ability to keep the vision right in front of you and then figure out, well, how can we get this vision closer? How can we make this vision bigger? How can I get there sooner? And if you're drowned with tasks, you're able to just stand up, take a fresher breath there, and just see, oh, we were completely off, is extremely limited. So your value of bringing in your decades of experience and judgment and nuance and intuition is severely diminished. And certainly they're overpaying. If somebody is hiring Lior to write code, I'm not a bad coder. I know incredible coders. I'm certainly not in the best coders I know. Google is not going to hire me to figure out the next algorithm, you know, for their search. I'm probably going to be somewhere up, but not in the top 2%. If you hire Lior to be a coder, I'm going to do something, and it's going to be a complete and utter waste of talent, utter waste of impact, because my impact is going to come on the strategy side, the leadership side, the making the right decisions so we get bigger visions, so we get them sooner. And the fact that I'm pushing code is useless, and it's a waste of energy.
I think about, you know what I'm thinking about is we tell our members at the CTOX Accelerator early on, like, you're selling leadership. And in my mind's eye, I can see them glitching, some of them anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, what is my value? What is my value proposition? What am I selling? And we're like, leadership. What is the real value there of a fractional CTO who is there to lead?
It's the discernment and the decision making that's based on decades of experience, right? Like, what's better, to write beautiful code or to make a decision we don't even need this code? It's way better to not do something and realize that you don't even need to execute on something. Or what is better, to build something beautiful and polish, or realize, oh, I Googled it and we can buy a product for $5,000 that does it, and we get the result today? That mindset of even looking at the problem and saying, do we need to build? Can we buy? Do we need to even do? What is this problem even a problem? Those are leadership qualities. And especially for, certainly for smaller companies, but in a competitive marketplace, you want the ability to know what should you even work on. And with that, do it for the best budget, you know, the shortest amount of time, and so on and so forth. So what you're selling is that discernment. And you're selling your ability to make it happen by rallying resources. And maybe it's getting vendors, maybe it's getting employees. But the point is, you're trying to make the vision real, and you're trying to make the vision real in the least amount of money and the least amount of time. If you're focused too much on the how, we have entire workshops about this in the accelerator, you're going to miss the boat and the value is not going to be created. And maybe a company, and maybe you're super proud, and you're like, well, we got this done for $600,000 instead of $1.2 million, and it took us 6 months instead of a year. But if the answer was, well, you could have bought something off the shelf for $60,000 and got the value right now, then you actually created damages worth of $600,000. Because if you compared it to some big enterprise build and you were like, no, I was scrappy, I'm like, well, did you even need to do it? Right? And that's what leadership is. When for some of you that have been leaders of different levels, directors, VPs, chiefs, if you think about your activity inventory, like the time, think about like a time study of a normal month in your job, and you realize how much time did you actually code, did you actually build, it's going to be very minimal, very, very minimal. So in the context of selling fractional leadership, you're just selling the leadership hours, the leadership insight, the leadership value. And you completely disregard all those meetings that you were just there staring at the paint dry, listening to people coordinate between themselves. You're not making strategic decisions, and you didn't actually create value. With this kind of work, you can consistently only sell the things that move the needle, really move the needle. So that's why you're selling discernment. You're selling your judgment, prioritization, your orchestration of everything, and not delivery. Just like a conductor is probably a good musician, but there are better musicians in the orchestra right now. And none of them can do their job without the conductor with their back to the audience, coordinating and telling them what to do when, because he understands everything. He's not as good as the first chair violinist. He's not as good as the pianist, but he understands all of their job, and all of them trust him to make sure they can create a beautiful symphony together.
You're selling discernment, you're selling judgment. And I love this. And what's tricky is that discernment often gets undervalued because the traditional workplace doesn't always operate that way. It's the roles and the description. What language is helpful for fractional CTOs to use when they're speaking with prospects and these CEOs who may be used to working in that environment and not really used to hearing a fractional CTO pitch?
For us, we focus it about outcome. That's why in our discovery call, we say, ask what and why. And one of our positioning for the fractional space is saying, I can give you 100% of this outcome for a fraction of the price. Because we want the conversation to be about, what are you trying to do? And good news, you can get it for cheaper, but rather good news, you can get it for less effort. We don't want you to think about effort. We want you to think about outcome. We want you to think about vision. We want you to think about efficiency. Right, that's where the cost kind of comes in. And as long as they can notice themselves that if they talk to a prospect, or if you're a CEO and you're listening to this and you're talking to a CTO, if you're noticing the conversation suddenly revolves around the how and the hours and the resources, you're missing the boat. You're missing the boat. You really want to clarify. That's completely fine after you clarify the vision, after you clarify the impact. The best advice I can give for fractional CTO, once they're in those conversations, don't mistakenly say stuff like, I can do it. I've done it, 50 times, because then you're actually positioning yourself as the bottleneck, and you're positioning your future engagement as they're going to be in a meeting and they expect you to do it. And when you create the roadmap, they expect your name to be on the initiative, on the task. You want to talk in we. What do we want to do? What does the organization want to do? What is the impact we're trying to create? What is the value we're trying to create? So make sure to talk about the future, talk about outcome, talk about impact, talk collectively, not personally. And then when you eventually do get the job, you'll be able to continue delivering in that same modality. Look at what we're doing. Look at the impact we're creating. And we're hiring all these people to do the work. Because both of us, you and me, CEO, we're getting this done. Just like the CEO is not doing any of the actual tasks, metabolizing the actual tasks in the business. Again, I'm putting it aside from like two-person startups, right? Then the CTO shouldn't do any of that as well. So if they can keep it more communal, keep it vision-oriented, then they can make sure the language is always about impact and then not really sell hours, which is the challenge most CTOs come into this space.
Well, yes. And I want to stay there for a moment. And let's say you're on the other side. You're working with them now as a client. They're not a prospect anymore, because there is a bit of a learning curve when it comes to staying in the leadership lane. How do you protect yourself from being pulled into the weeds? Because that is another moment of danger where you may have successfully enrolled them on the leadership part, but now it's standing up and setting those boundaries when it matters.
I think to me, the way I do it, if I find, and I do this all the time, nearly every week, if I find myself in a conversation that's very tactical, like the CEO has a project they want to get done, or one of the other executives, and they pull me in, they're like, well, we want to do this, we want to do that, I immediately put the why conversation as the big awareness of what we're talking about, because it makes sure that they still understand that I'm leading and not doing. If I'm biting on whatever they have to show me and I'm like, yes, they said, oh, you're right. Yep, totally. We can get it done in 14 days. Yep, I'll talk to three people. If I'm acting that way, I'm instantly in manager mode. I'm instantly in individual contributor mode, and they're getting confidence because I just said, yes, I'll take care of it. Instead of me continuing acting like a leader and questioning, you know, should this even exist, and clarifying everybody about the impact. So I'm definitely focusing in on why, challenging the project, clarifying the impact. And the last thing I do is saying something, I'll take care of it. I'm going to say, okay, now that I got it, let me go back to the team and see how we can get this done. And then go back to them. And I'm very careful of not suddenly say, I got it, I'll take care of it, don't worry, it'll be ready in 10 days. You'll never hear me say that. Because I want to keep that boundary. So I'm not going to get expected as like, well, you said you're going to send me an email in 3 days with all the solution, right? You said the feature is going to be released in a couple of days. So I always go back to impact, vision, and I say, I'm going to see how we can do it as a group, as a collective, and then actually go back to my, you know, subordinates, resources, whatever it is to give them a report. Ideally, by the way, I have one of the people I speak to actually send the update and CC me. So they know that the tactical updates also don't come from me. Because if I train, it's like dog training. If I train them that I talk tactics and I give them tactical updates, then that's what they're going to just continue doing. It's just going to snowball. It's going to be a positive feedback loop. And it's never going to stop.
This is important. And I imagine this gets really tricky when your comfort zone is building and engineering and doing. How do you coach folks to self-correct that instinct? Because it is just, I mean, it's a second. It's one line and you've got back down into it.
There's a lot. One of my favorite mental models, you know, like in the military and leadership training, you would say something like, you know, hands in pockets. Can't do anything. Hands in pockets. I like to say, and this is, I also say to people under me, right? Like as directors or VPs, I tell them, imagine you had the same job, same responsibility, same accountability, but you're Stephen Hawking, right? You talk very slow. You have to be super discerning about what you're going to say. And you can't use your hands. This is voice commands, right? Like, what do? So imagine because it forces you into leverage. It forces you into leverage. It forces you out of being the actor in the scene. You're like, this thing needs to happen. And you're not the actor that's doing the action. So it forces you into this mindset, into this mental space of still focusing on the outcome, but not shortcutting and saying, oh, I'll take care of it. Give me the gun, I'll shoot. Right? Give me the rope, I'll tie it in. So I think those are like, you know, hands in pockets, one of my favorite, you know, mental models. And then Stephen Hawking, one of my more exotic ones. But both of them talk about the same thing. You don't get to use your hands. You don't get to get involved. You only get to influence. And if you focus on the only thing you can do is influence and not do, you're way more likely to keep your leadership positioning and not suddenly get drowned in tasks.
Well, and zooming out, this is also what unlocks scale as a fractional CTO. So I'd love for you to speak to that a bit, because there is that need. You separate the leadership from execution on a one client basis, but it also enables you to fill the portfolio.
That's exactly right. When people come in, first of all, we do a lot of work with them to make sure they don't sell hours, they don't think about hours, they don't create hourly expectations in the conversation, like to do all that. But, and really, if they do, if they act in the way we teach in terms of philosophy, right? You're about influence and leverage. You're not about actions and tasks. Then yeah, you actually get to a point like I can support a $20,000, $30,000 retainer sometimes with an hour or two a week. And people are mind boggled by it. But the reason they're mind boggled is because they assume they need to be in the standing meeting.
That's right.
They assume they need all the updates to come through them. I'm like, why do you want to be a bottleneck? With all of my clients, this is the reality of it. If Lior leaves, nothing happens. Meaning, they're continuing smooth sail. Right now, if I leave 100% of my clients, they will not miss a beat. A beat. Now, people might say, that means you're replaceable. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to give them scale. If I'm sick, I don't want the organization to slow down. I don't want to create some kind of a system or a process that if Lior is not available, God forbid, the organization gets hurt. The tasks get hurt. The outcome that they're trying to do. So I'm very pointed on it. That's my point. My point is to create a super resilient process that lives without me. Not only without me, by the way. Without any single one under my team. If the director of product leaves, nobody's missing a beat. Director of engineering leaves, no one missing a beat. If one of the developers leave, nobody's missing a beat. You want to create that resiliency. And because I do that, my clients love me. They're afraid as the company grows, the system is suddenly going to become non-resilient. That's why they're keeping me. They're not keeping me because they're enjoying the fact that I'm quote unquote no longer important. They're keeping me because they get to enjoy the fact that the way I design the teams and design the processes, the organization can keep scaling. And when life happens, because life happens, people leave, people switch priorities. That's just, you can't, that's a constant in business. They know that the systems and the technology capability of the company doesn't go away.
Potent. If this episode helped you rethink leadership and boundaries, share it with a founder or executive who keeps asking for a player coach and doesn't realize what they're really asking for. Lior, thank you as always for the fabulous, fabulous insights.
Thank you. And don't forget, keep your hands in your pockets.
See ya.
That wraps up another episode of the CTOX podcast. We hope today's conversation gave you the tools and inspiration to advance your journey as a fractional CTO.
And don't forget, if you want more in-depth support or to connect with our community of fellow fractional CTOs, visit us at CTOX.com.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the CTOX podcast.